Faithful God, we are in awe before your eternal presence. We praise you for our bodies, so fearfully and wonderfully made. We pray in wonder and with deep appreciation for the abundant riches of nature, the human creativity that are our responsibility to use for the eternal good of all. Above all, we praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, born as one of us to teach us and to save us. We gather in his name. Bless us as we worship you. Amen. Give me joy in my heart, we join to sing. Have a seat. Each time I say, "Dear Lord, would you respond, forgive us?" Dear Lord, forgive us. So let us pray. For our failure to acknowledge you when the opportunity was right, and when you are being denied, dear Lord, forgive us. For our arrogance and ignorance in making you, our God, too small and in our own image, assuming that we know you inside out, just as you know us, dear Lord, forgive us. For our failure to celebrate all the blessings that you give your people, dear Lord, forgive us. For our conceit in imagining that your people are only us, dear Lord, forgive us. For ourselves, when as a church we have not listened to you, dear Lord, forgive us. The Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, So far have I removed your sins from you. Receive then God's forgiveness and be generous in your forgiveness of others. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Later on this morning, we're going to induct two people to serve with the rest of the elders as part of the leadership of this church. And the promises that they go through are very, very similar to the promises that are said when somebody is baptized, which I think I want to draw your attention to because I think it's very important. You need to know, we all need to know, that we're all leaders of this church, and we're all called to serve God wherever we are. So, some people, at some phases of their lives, will be particularly involved in the organization of the church. But most of us won't. Most of us are called to be followers of Jesus in our schools, in our homes, in our offices, in the factories, in the shops, in the pubs and the clubs, wherever we are. So what I want you to do now is to think about what you're going to be doing tomorrow. You might find it useful to shut your eyes, you don't have to. Just think about what you're going to be doing tomorrow. Imagine getting up, having your breakfast, maybe on your own, maybe with others. I'd like you to imagine the people that you're going to meet. Some of them, it'll be easy to meet them, and some of them, it'll be irritating. I'd like you to think about those particular challenges that you expect to be facing tomorrow. And just to take a moment to realize that in all those places, each of us is called to be a minister for the Lord Jesus. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, in our service today, we will celebrate the baptism that you went through with John. Bless each of us in the ministry that we share with you. And we pray in your name. Amen. So as I said, two people are going to be inducted today. One of them is David Richards, and this hymn that we're going to sing is his choice. So if you like it, you shake him by the hand. If you don't like it, you tell him. Or maybe, no. If you don't like it, you just keep it to yourself. Okay? Just as I am. Just remain as you are, unless you've really struggled to get through the hymn and you're feeling really tired, in which case, sit. But if you're okay on your legs, stay on your feet. We're going to go through the statement of the nature, faith and order of the United Reformed Church. Now, we are not a people who usually use creeds. We are people who sing what we believe. But when we induct elders, it's our usual pattern to go through the statement of the nature, faith... What a catchy title. The statement of the nature, faith and order of the URC. So this is who we are and this is what we believe. If I'm light, you be bold. With the whole Christian church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The life of faith to which we are called is the Spirit's gift, continually received through the Word, the sacraments, and our Christian life together. The highest authority for what we believe and do is God's word in the Bible, alive for God's people today through the help of the Spirit. We accept with thanksgiving to God the witness to the Catholic faith in the Apostles' and Nicene Creeds. We acknowledge the declarations made in our own tradition by Congregationalists, Presbyterians, and Churches of Christ, in which they stated the faith and sought to make its implications clear. We conduct our life together according to the basis of union, in which we give expression to our faith in forms which we believe contain the essential elements of the Church's life, both Catholic and Reformed. But we affirm our right and readiness, if the need arises, to change the basis of union and to make new statements of faith in ever new obedience to the living Christ. Held together in the body of Christ through the freedom of the Spirit, we rejoice in the diversity of the Spirit's gifts and uphold the rights of personal conviction. For the sake of faith and fellowship, it shall be for the Church to decide when differences of conviction hurt our unity and peace. We believe that Christ gives his Church a government distinct from the government of the state. In the things that affect obedience to God, the Church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. Civil authorities are called to serve God's will of justice and peace for all humankind, and to respect the rights of conscience and belief. We affirm our intention to go on praying and working with all our fellow Christians for the visible unity of the Church in the way Christ chooses, so that people and nations may be led to love and serve God and to praise God more and more forever. Amen. Please have a seat, not so fast. So in the light of this statement, do you confess again your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? In dependence on God's grace, do you reaffirm your trust in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, and your promise to follow him and to seek to do and to bear his will all the days of your life?
I do.
Do you believe that the Word of God in the Old and New Testaments, discerned under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is the supreme authority for the faith and conduct of all God's people?
I do.
Alistair and David, do you accept the office of elder in this congregation and seek to perform its duties faithfully, God being your helper?
I do.
The right response for you, good people, is we do. As members of this congregation, do you promise to support and encourage those whom you have elected and support them in your prayers?
We do.
Excellent. Let us pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise for your presence with us, that you have been our God through all generations. You are our God now and will be into the future. And we, your people who gather as Kingston United Reformed Church, know that you have been very generous in your blessings to us. We have, as a people, suffered together. We have also, as a people, supported one another and been strengthened by you. Bless those who are in leadership in this church community. We ask for your blessing on Michael and Stuart as they run the building. We ask for your blessing on Vaughan, the church secretary, and Robin, the church treasurer. We ask that you would pour out your Spirit on them and on all the elders, and at this time, particularly on Alistair and David. Strengthen them, Lord Jesus. Give them the courage to speak your word, the wisdom to listen to your Spirit, and the sensitivity to know when to act, when to hold back, and the discipline to do what they say they are going to do. Inspire us all, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So the right thing to do by way of greeting is, come on, I'm not waving my hands at you. God bless you, man. God bless you. Just in case anybody doesn't know, Alistair, David, just so you don't spend the whole rest of your life being called Alistair or David, whichever. Right, so the first hymn was Just As I Am, David's choice. Guess who chose the next hymn? Guess. Yes, you're right, Alistair. So here we have a story that is familiar, but a bit problematic. Why would somebody who is holy and perfect need to go through baptism? Well, I think one of the things you need to do is work out what baptism is about. Is baptism about being washed? Or is baptism about a sign of joining? Maggie Arnold is going to read this passage to us.
Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. "I ought to be baptized by you," said John, "and yet you have come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires." So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. The heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and alighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased." Amen.
Amen. So, two comments. The first one is, in that story, John says to Jesus, "I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." John recognized that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Holy One, and it's surely not right that he should be baptizing Jesus. But Jesus says, "Let it be so for now." There are situations when what is happening is not how it will be ultimately, not how it should be at the best, but for now, it's the best it can be. Yep? It's not how it should be ultimately, but for now, it's the best that it can be. So think about those situations in your life where you know that something isn't perfect. But the challenge to make it the best that it can be. Moment the next time you're complaining about how cold it is in the worship space, eh? The other question I want to take from this is the whole notion of Jesus being sinless, perfect.
Let me ask this question. Did Jesus ever make mistakes?
Yes.
Of course. Did Jesus ever make mistakes? I think the answer must be, if Jesus was a man, I meant a person, sorry. I wasn't getting at you. Get over yourselves, for goodness sake. Would I do such a thing? I meant if Jesus was a person, then once upon a time, he needed to learn how to do things. And if you're going to learn how to do things and develop your skill, then guess what? You're going to make mistakes. Yeah? And that is true for each of us as individuals, but it's also true for us as a church community. Yes? If we are going to develop and do new things, try things out, like the work that we're doing at the moment with the night shelter, with the guests who are in here during the day, we're going to try things. Some of them are going to work. Some of them are not. And that's how we learn, and that's how we grow, and that is how we believe we become more like Jesus. Yes? Good. Right. That having been said, all of that challenge is a cause for prayer. So what I want you to do now, and you can blame me, I want you to get into twos and threes. Turn to the person beside you, the person behind you, somebody you don't know. Get the names backwards and forwards. For those situations in our world where you can see that there are mistakes being made, and those situations need prayer. Yes? Are you clear what your task is? I know you hate me. I know you hate me because I'm making you talk to people. I know. I'm sorry. I prostrate myself in front of you. Are you ready? You're not nailed to your seat. You can move. 3, 2, 1. Move. So exchanging opinions about situations where there are mistakes being made, talking backwards and forwards, and any minute now, I'm going to make you be quiet. Okay, let's change gear. Let's move from reflecting, let's move to praying. You can pray out loud, you can pray in silence, that's absolutely fine. But let's join to pray. Not to chat, let us pray.
So let us pray together. In those circumstances where there is injustice, in those places where there is brutality, in those communities where your mercy is lacking, let there be a change, O God. In those homes where there is violence, in those places where there is war, in those countries where there is hunger, let there be a change, O God. And help us to have the courage to do the good that we can do and not to be overwhelmed by all that needs to be done. To be generous, to be kind, and to be grateful, O God, for all that you have done for us in Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering, which will give you a chance to get back to your seat. Let us pray. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his only Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Thank you. Amen. So we join to sing our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision. God of all friendship, help us this week to make life worthwhile for others. Inspire us to treat people fairly and equally. And as we celebrate the humility of Jesus in coming to John for baptism, may we, through our knowledge of the way of Christ, reach out to others. And let them reach out to us in mutual dignity. Amen.